Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
Providing insight and resources for your spiritual journey. Unity Online Radio. Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is part four in our fascinating series where I discuss with other Unity ministers their spiritual journeys and the traditions and practices that have inspired them and deepened their understanding. It's been a fabulous series so far. We've had Howard Caesar on and Robert Brummett and last week Scott Shell. And today I welcome a longtime Unity minister, Marge Britt, to the show. Dr. Marge Britt has been a visionary leader of Unity of Tustin in California for 19 years and still serves there as senior minister emeritus. She's the founder of Called by Love, a web-based intensive that focuses on the recognition of the faces of love. And before ministry, Marge received a doctoral degree from the University of Massachusetts School of Education and is now the founder and leader of the Called by Love Institute. And during her career and her path, she has interviewed and had wonderful interactions with many of the great spiritual leaders of our time, and we're going to talk about that and the new initiatives she has. So it's a really great pleasure to welcome Dr. Marge Britt to today's show. Welcome, Marge.
And it's such a great pleasure to be with you. You and I were in school at the same time. So
that's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
We go back a long ways, and I've always so appreciated and admired your work. So thank you for inviting me to be part of this.
Well, obviously the feeling is mutual, and I'm really happy you're with us today to share your fascinating journey. I know it's been a wonderful one over the last 30 years here since we knew each other in seminary. And the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, tell me a little bit about your spiritual background or your religious upbringing.
Well, it's really fascinating because I think I bring in another dimension. I listened to the previous calls and loved every single one of them. Howard and Robert are both personal friends. But my background includes really a fundamentalist piece that I was born and raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. I attended Seventh-day Adventist schools all through grade school and high school. And my first year of college, when I transferred out, I went to a different private university, which happened to be Southern Baptist in Liberty, Missouri, William Jewell College. So,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating to see now in my life how all of it is weaving itself and weaving itself within what I've know now and love so much, a unity framework, which involves what I'm calling the codes of co-creation, which is really the days or stages of creation that is one of the foundational frameworks of the unity movement. So it involves the 12 powers, and I love that that's happening. You know, one of the interesting things that happened to me quite a few years ago is I had invited Joel Fatinos, who is a vice president of spiritual publishing for Tarsier Penguin, to come and speak and teach at Unity Intestine. And I always invited people I wanted to learn from.
Right.
And Joel was one of those, and we were walking through the meditation gardens, and I was explaining all of the kinds of things that I weave together as I teach about the stages of co-creation, and it including the spiral and integral and the maps of consciousness and David Hawkins and all kinds of pieces of it. You called it eclectic in this description, and I call it integrative. And Joel said to me, you know, I just published The Creative Life, written by Eric Butterworth. And he said, you're telling me things that aren't even in that book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I know. He said, you've got to write a book. And so he was one of the first people that said that to me. And now probably, I'm guessing it's 15 years later, I'm actually writing it.
So, yeah, finally. It's been gestating for a while, huh?
Very much so. These periods of gestation have their own timing. Have you written a book?
Well, I'm in the same category, probably, that I've had many books, you know, that I'm working on, but never finally brought them to fruition. I've written numerous articles and whatnot, but when it comes to the book itself, it's always that's a tough one, you know.
That's one of the reasons I stepped off the bricks and mortar platform and all of the responsibilities and roles that go with senior minister.
Yes.
I really wanted to focus on allowing the next stage to birth in my life, and it's happening.
Well, you know, Andrew Harvey told me one time, because, you know, I asked him how did he write books. He says one of the best ways you can do it is, if you're not used to it, is just sit down with somebody that you know and love and tell them what you want to tell them, you know, as if you're writing the book, but you're just telling them. And then have somebody transcribe it or have it recorded so it can be put in on computer or whatever. And that way it comes forward very naturally. He said one of the big problems with writing is we get too mechanical about it. You know, it's not coming from the heart. We're thinking too much. And I like that idea, you know, because I think that's part of the creative process, isn't it? Is to go beyond thinking, right? You're at a deeper level of consciousness when you're acting without acting, thinking without thinking. I know it sounds like a conundrum, but I think that's the great creative place.
Yeah. Conundrum. It's part of an.
Excuse me.
It's part of the late stage that is the entry into the causal stage or awareness of awareness, and the being includes action, but it comes from a different vibrational field. It comes from a different realm. It comes from beyond your rational mind, and you.
Yes.
Yeah, you know about that. I know you do. I can
but
tell by the name of your radio show, actually.
Is that right? No, I've loved doing world spirituality because, of course, it's such a all-encompassing subject, isn't it? You can go in all kinds of directions with it, and we love to discuss, you know, religion, but I think what we like more is to discuss what's beyond or beneath religion, you know, because the religion is. This sort of the outer framework, but within it is that breathing heart of connectedness to source, connectedness to each other, really, because we're all of the universe, and that's an endlessly fascinating subject, and one that you're mapping in the work that you're doing, obviously. So,
yeah.
You grew up fundamentalist. Can you name or more strict religious background, let's put it like that. Can you name one good thing that came out of being a fundamentalist?
Oh,
and not just because
hundreds.
You escaped from it.
I can learn hundreds of good things, and I didn't escape from it. I transcended it, but I included it. Mm. And I began to understand that as I began to understand Integral and Ken Wilber and all of those awarenesses of that map of consciousness. And I can see that it's still, for all of the years in Unity Ministry, it was profoundly impacting my life. When I was in seminary in my class, 1987 was when we graduated, and I was one of the core group of what a small group within our class of about 40 or 50 people that was called the Jesus people. Well, that came right out of my Seventh-day Adventist background.
Right.
It wasn't a literal interpretation of the Bible. It absolutely catapulted itself first into the metaphysical interpretation, which is very symbolic, and a lot of Unity ministers teach that. But then it blew itself out of that container and went mystical. And I have lived with this mystical consciousness and this mystical awareness, and it translates for me all of the time. I hear words that are literal interpretations, and immediately the mystical, the beyond the rational mind levels of understanding are just given. It's not something that I think about with my rational mind. It just comes.
I love what you're saying, though, about, you know, the integration of it, because I think in our modern society, you know, we see so many things in an either-or way, don't we? There's the liberal, mystical path, and then there's this fundamentalist path, the literal path, and then, you know, they're mutually distinct from each other, but they don't have to be. I mean, I admire the extreme devotion and focus of a fundamentalist approach, you know, that sometimes we lack in unity because we're so loosey-goosey, and we can use discipline, I think, and I admire that extreme focus on Jesus. Sometimes it's interpreted too literally for me, but I do admire their dedication and their, you know, the excitement that they have about that path and about their commitment to that particular way of approach. So, you know, that's something I think we can all learn from.
Absolutely. And one of the differences that I see as I work with people, and our virtual assistant for Called by Love and all of our monthly calls actually is a practicing charismatic fundamentalist. And she and I have deep conversations. She talks about the energy of that as he, meaning Jesus, and I talk about the energy of that as love, or vastness, or spaciousness, or the all that is. And so our language is different, but we feel the same thing in our hearts, and
right.
We live that love. And she lives it in jail ministry that she's been doing with women for 10 years. And I live it doing what I'm doing, you know, ministering unity for 19 years and now 5 years with Called by Love and Called by Love Institute and all that's come out of that.
Yeah, so, fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
And I was, I had an appointment with a Catholic priest yesterday, and so I got to musing with my wife later in the day about, you know, Catholicism, and she grew up Southern Baptist. Now she's in Unity. And we were musing about some of the things we didn't like about Catholicism, you know, and I guess there's many things that you could pick on. But then on the other side of it is, I think about all the people that, you know, I have been influenced by who were Catholics. And my favorite mystic of all, of course, is Meister Eckhart, who was a Catholic. And we can talk about St. Teresa and John of the Cross and modern-day luminaries, you know, like Thomas Merton and Matthew Fox and all these people. And some of them, of course, had, you know, conflicted relationship with Catholic orthodoxy. But you got to admit, I do in my mind, I have to admit, you know, there's good in everything. And just because I might not like some of the shady things that go on in the Vatican, you know, like all these mysteries they talk about, you know, it's still flowering with great mystical awareness, the Catholic tradition. So, you know, it's there's good in everything, right?
Absolutely. And we can find it. If we focus on finding that good,
right.
And it's not something from the rational mind for me. It's something that is shown to me through my heart, and it's shown to me through love. And it's not about somebody making up rules that I have to rigorously follow. What I find is that the rules that I follow in my life are given to me by what I call the Holy Spirit, or the All That Is, or the universe. And my definition of what that is a bit different than some other people's. But that's okay. It's just what I call different languages for different countries.
Well, I think it was St. Augustine that said famously, didn't he? He said, love God and do what you want, you know, do as you like. And you know, it sounds like he was advocating, you know, anarchy or something. But really, if you love God, if you have a relationship like you're talking about, that felt direct experience of the numinous or of the one, then you're bound to do the right thing, aren't you? I think that's the key to that statement. You know, that go to God and all else will unfold in the right and perfect way.
It never fails you. Never. There is no exception to that. If you think it's failed you, what you need to examine is how you got out of alignment.
Nice.
Or out, off the path.
Right. Don't blame it on God, right? Or on the devil, right? The devil made me do it.
I love you mentioning Meister Eckhart. I used to quote Meister Eckhart. I didn't identify it was from him, but I used it every Sunday for 19 years in my opening prayer and meditation, the phrase, let God be God in you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that was that Ed Rabel, one of Ed Rabel's favorites? I'm not sure. It could have been Marvin Anderson, two of our professors.
Yeah.
back at Unity Village, but I know that we had a lot of Meister Eckhart fans there at seminary, because, you know, he's so, what's wonderful about Meister Eckhart, I think, he's so amazingly profound and yet eminently practical at the same time. You know, he plumbs the depths, but then he comes back with something that you can use in your everyday spiritual experience, everyday life. And let God be God in you is an excellent one, isn't it? I think it's better than let go and let God, you know, which is the one we use in Unity. Because that implies a sort of a separation, whereas let God be God in you implies pure unitive understanding. And you know, that's a very profound statement, I think, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you and I had the great, great gift of having some of the most amazing spiritual teachers in Unity, in the history of Unity, I think, in people like Ed Rabel and Marvin Anderson. I mentioned both of them and actually write a whole chapter about Marvin and my experience of my first download of my life's work coming and sitting in his class. And it was based on when he said, you know, this is the key to everything, and we don't understand it yet.
Right.
And he's beginning to teach in Metaphysics 1, the days of creation. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful stuff. All right, before we break, a simple question. Are you still a vegetarian?
Preferences, but not rigid.
Okay, because I think Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarian, aren't they, generally?
I say that again?
The Seventh-day Adventist tradition is is to be vegetarian. Yeah, right. Okay. Just checking. Okay, I'm with Marge Britt. We're talking about her wonderful spiritual journey and the unitive understanding of a direct experience of coming into the heart. Wonderful stuff. It's the core of unity. And we'll be back to talk a little more about some of the places unity is at right now and its development, and also some of the work that that Marge is doing, and exciting work that she's involved with. So come back after these messages from Unity.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives. Weather forecasters can provide guesstimates based on scientific data, but in the end, we cannot know with absolute certainty what the weather will be until we live it. Life works the same way. We may think we know what's going to happen, expecting the best while preparing for the worst. We can keep a positive frame of mind and weather any storm because we are one with the ever-present miracle-working power of God. We are mightier than any circumstance on this earth because we are divine in nature and a part of the eternal. We live in a world where we can realize our possibilities because we know that with God, all things are possible. And the way to keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on divine potentialities is through prayer. As author Frances W. Foulkes wrote in her book, Effectual Prayer, if the time of achievement seems long, pray. If the way seems dark, pray. If the results seem delayed, pray. Morning, noon, and night, pray. Pray without ceasing.
This mindful moment is brought to you by Daily Word Magazine. For more than 90 years, Daily Word has helped people of all faiths live healthy, prosperous, and meaningful lives. Take advantage of our 30-day free trial of the digital edition. You'll receive access to the online magazine, a daily email with the word for the day, and the Daily Word app. To sign up for the 30-day free trial, visit unityonlineradio.org/dailyword.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm with Marge Britt, and we're talking about her spiritual practice. She's been the minister at Unity Testing for 19 years, and then after that has moved into other alternative ministries and the Called by Love Institute, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what I wanted to touch on was where Unity is right now. Where are we as a movement, as an idea in consciousness? And it was Robert Brummett, I think, who said that You know, if the Fillmores were alive today, the founders of Unity, they would not be Fillmorian. You know, they would be on the cutting edge of what's going on in current spirituality, because there is some folks in Unity would like to go back to the Fillmores, and they're called Fillmorian. Sort of, it's a fundamentalist approach, I guess, back to fundamentals. But I liked his response, because I share it, I guess, and that is that we keep unfolding, right? We don't stay where we were 120 years ago, although we have wonderful teachings that we can still embody and learn from, but we don't have to be limited to. What's your view on that, Marge?
Well, I have a little bit of a different view, because in some ways I think Unity has regressed, and they have gotten a bit rigorous in that fundamental realm. And what I'm aware of is that Charles Fillmore, and Myrtle also, but Charles was the one that did most of the writing, and he taught from multiple levels of consciousness. And he directed his teaching to where it was needed, and I don't think that was necessarily coming from his rational mind. I think it was spirit using him as a clear channel for what was needed. And not everyone even agrees with me about the work of Dr. David Hawkins, but when I was involved with Unity Institute, and when Tom Zender was president of Unity, we brought Dr. David Hawkins to Unity Village one time, and he did the map of consciousness that goes all of the way from 0 to 1,000. And he wanted to go into the archives. He uses kinesiology to find levels of consciousness. And as he went into the archives and they started bringing out pieces of documents in Charles Fillmore's own handwriting, some of them were calibrating in the 900s on David Hawkins' map of consciousness.
Wow.
Now, this is huge. This is way, way beyond where Unity is now. Where Unity is now in his calibrations at that time was somewhere in the low 500s. And I think we've lost some of the clear teachings that came through Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And it would be very interesting if we could open our hearts to the point where we stopped continuing this, what I call the 40-year war that's gone on within the Unity movement, and we could really look for what's beyond the perspectives of all of the players in the field. And, you know, I'm part of one of the fields. I happen to be more inclined not to get involved in that war, and so I kind of sit back and don't get energized by the fight. But I love people in both groups. So
when you say, for those people who are listening who may not be aware of this 40-year war that you talk about, are you referring to the split between the ministries themselves and the headquarters at Unity Village? Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they work back and forth trying to find a way to mend it and heal it, and they're doing good work with that, because there's now one website, unity.org, and then you can go to either organization from that. But we've still got a ways to go. And
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people say, you know, this is Unity. How come you got two separate organizations? And then
exactly.
You've got other splinter organizations, don't you, that have set themselves up that, you know, that make it even more fragmented in some ways.
Exactly.
There are movements to bring it back together, as you say, the same website. You know, there's joint initiatives by both boards. the Unity Worldwide Ministries is considering moving back into the education building at the village. And of course, the headquarters has given the educational function, the ministerial function, to the Association of Unity Churches, or Unity Worldwide Ministries, as it's called. And, you know, in all the years I've been a minister, I always, you know, even though I've explained it many, many times to members in my congregation, they still ask, now remind me again the differences, who's in charge of what, and... Because our former associate minister here, Bruce Vercruz, he became the chief financial officer at the Association of Unity Churches, or Unity Worldwide Ministries, as it's also called. But, you know, and now I'm on the board of the world headquarters. They say, now, are you on the same board that, you know, Bruce is part of? And no, it's totally different. So it is a hampering thing, I think, that we, you know, in the name of unity, we have a split, which
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
It's a sad thing.
I think it's all part of the process. It's part of the dance of our learning how to come back together.
Yeah.
And we're, instead of doing Aikido, we're doing sometimes shadow boxing.
Yeah, there we go. But then I'm a big Hindu myself. You know, I've got a lot of history and involvement with Hinduism. And you can't imagine a more disparate way of approach, you know, because there are a million gods, a million cults, a million paths, a million approaches, so many different philosophical systems, all the way from atheism to pure devotion, and it's all included in this thing called Hinduism, you know. And so
exactly.
I take comfort from that. You know, it continues to be the eternal truth, however many disguises and different cults and schisms there might be. So, if Unity can probably handle a little bit of that too.
I think so.
Yeah.
And of course, Carolyn Mathlin, who's the senior minister now at Unity of Tustin, is on the board with you.
That's right. Yeah.
Unity School. So.
Yeah, which is lovely. It's been wonderful to get to know her and work with her. So you were at Tustin for 19 years, and I know you attracted there, you know, many of the great spiritual teachers of our time from all traditions. And I'd like to know what, you know, in all that wonderful experience that you've had and interaction, what if you distilled, what would you say were the key elements? And I think I've heard one already, and that is, you know, moving beyond the rational mind into this place where we're in the heart, and we touch the essence of things. But, you know, I don't want to second guess what you want to say, but that's obviously important. But what else have you distilled?
Well, I've also been very influenced by A Course in Miracles, and what seems to come out of that is the awareness, all of this integration of this eclectic mix, as you called it, that I'm calling an integral process, integrating all of it is a whole knowing of almost a double spiral, where every time we go one level higher, that light from that level shines one level deeper, and it shines on shadows. There are parts of our lives that still need healing, or things that we're called to do that we don't know how to do, and takes us into our next stages. And what I'm really, really excited about is finding the path of being and becoming and how they move back and forth in this involution of consciousness, spirit moving into form, and the evolution of consciousness, which is the soul ascending into awakening. And all of it's happening simultaneously. the Hindu tradition. It's called Kundalini. And, of course, that's a word that I never heard in seminary. But when I began to hear those teachings that came out of Siddha Yoga and Muktananda, when I got to Walnut Creek and some of our community, Unity in Walnut Creek, was part of the Siddha Yoga community, when I would talk about receive ye the Holy Spirit, as I did every time we did spiritual baptism, receive ye the Holy Spirit, people from Siddha Yoga said, oh, that's just the movement of the Kundalini, rising.
There we go.
All of a sudden, I started realizing that we were experiencing the same thing. I had experienced it most of my life, unconsciously first and then consciously, and I would call it things like God chills. Where I would feel my whole body become electric, like with light. And I didn't know how to describe it. I just knew it would happen. And it was always a sign that I was receiving messages or from the divine. Usually, I interpreted to mean, pay attention to this. This is part of your path. This is important. Recognize what's happening.
I was going to say, I think that's an important nuance there too, is that sometimes we have these experiences and we get enamored with them. You know, we fall into the trap of thinking we're special or different or something wonderful is happening. And then we want more and more of these experiences. You know, I used to see a lot of lights in my meditation, and I once went to my teacher and, you know, asked him about them. And he kind of dismissed them out of hand, basically. And I was so proud of all these lights that I got, you know. And and he was, you know, saying they could be a real distraction because, you know, instead of meditating to become open to the all, you know, you're meditating and showing up more and more lights, and that's not going to help you. So I think these things are wonderful, aren't they, to guide us on? They're reminders that yes. Energies,
you know,
flowing.
The lights and those kinds of things are what I often call the bells and whistle stage.
Right, there we go. The cities, yeah, where we have these psychic powers or whatnot. And we can get distracted by them.
And there's more beyond that. And,
yes.
You know, I'm so grateful for people like Marvin Anderson and Jim Gaither, who brought in Evelyn Underhill and the stages of mysticism. You know, I read those books. I didn't really understand them totally, but I read them, and, I mean, it was the beginning. And then I got to Walnut Creek, and then people were handing me books like The Play of Consciousness by Baba Muktananda. And I got to Unity of Tustin and realized how much I was missing that kind of connection and began to pray for that connection again. And the first thing I knew, David Now, who's now put his robes back on, he had taken them off then, showed up, and he had been the MC of Muktananda on his worldwide tours. And David and I co-taught together God realization for 17 years. And
wow.
I teach unity, and this is what Christianity says, and he would teach Eastern traditions, and this is what the Bhagavad Gita says, and this is what you know, all of these things are, all of these awarenesses, all of this knowing is part of what comes and has been known for thousands of years. No one has the ownership of it in these different paths that we call religions.
Yes.
We have our own perceptions and interpretations of it, and within those, we all have our stages of development, which is what I've moved toward now in the last 5 years with the stages inventory and now developing a love stages inventory, which involves rigorous research. Isn't that interesting? It takes me right back to my doctoral dissertation at UMass, which included some stages of adult development.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is that, you know, these practices, for instance, that are so popular right now, the oneness blessing and the laying on of hands, you know, Swami Muktananda, of course, was using that technique, you know, the Shakti path or whatever, way back when, and talking about levels of consciousness and kriyas and kundalini rising and everything. So, yeah, these are eternal truths, aren't they, that have been... And I love the idea that we need to trust ourselves, right? Not trust our egos, but trust our inner core self. I think our society is always looking for experts, somebody else that can do it for us. You know, we admire people who are wonderful at sports, for instance, when we watch the Olympics, or some kind of expert that's going to guide us. But the great expert is the witness within, isn't it? Is the inner core of our own spiritual center, or the Christ, whatever you might want to call it. And I think that's huge for me, is helping people trust their own guidance, because it will never guide us wrong if we go into the heart of things and trust that inner, that still point at the heart of us.
It's so true. And it's interesting to me, Paul, that after all of this exploration of world religions and, you know, all of the amazing souls, who many of whom who have become personal friends, I've come back when I am now, the publisher has my book and it's written and it's in the editing process. It should be out by the end of the year, the first of next year.
Exciting.
Back to the Unity Framework, the Codes of Co-Creation. And the title of the book is Your Soul's Invisible Codes.
Mm.
And the subtitle, Unveiling Your Sacred Love Story. And it's all, you know, it's part memoir, it's part teaching, simple stories told in ordinary language, for ordinary and extraordinary people, I say. But it's about this walk that I took with Joel Fatinos through the garden, and I quote a Sufi poem that talks about a garden amidst the flames. And so somehow unity has given you and I both an amazing gift of a container that has allowed us to go into the vastness and then to come back into the world with gift-bestowing hands. It's the last Zen ox herding picture, which I first learned about from Roger Walsh when I came to Unity of Tustin about a year after I got here. He put a little ad in the Journal for Transpersonal Psychology and said he was doing a year-long intensive on Ken Wilber's book, Sex, Ecology, and Spirit, in its pre-publication status. And he was doing it with his doctoral students, and was there anyone that would like to join it that thought that that was perfect for them? And I wrote to him immediately and said yes.
Wow.
And interestingly, as I was making some bullet points about our talk today, I wrote down his name. To this morning, I got an email from him, and he said, "It's been a long time. Why don't we have lunch or dinner?" And I hadn't talked to him for a year.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. That's great. I love it. Yeah.
Synchronicity. This is how it works.
Yeah, and if people aren't familiar with the 10 ox herding pictures, it's a Zen idea about our own irascible and difficult ego that we must wrestle and integrate into our being. And so we're chasing this ox, but eventually we get to ride it home. And it's not that it disappears, just as you mentioned earlier, your fundamentalist roots haven't disappeared, but they've been integrated fully. So we're fully human and fully divine at the same time. So we don't have to get rid of anything. It's subsumed into something greater. So we're joyously riding the ox home now. And I love that image, isn't it? Because it's like everything that has ever happened to us has been for good, you know. So even our worst nightmares and devastations have been part of the wonderful plan that's brought us to where we are today. And I think that's cause for celebration, really. Right, and it shows the universe is inherently a benevolent and welcoming place.
It's so true. And I'm so grateful for this amazing, beautiful, incredible journey that I could have never planned with my rational mind.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all been given by grace.
Yes.
And I now look at it as a path of destiny that somehow I aligned with and open to, and I live a life of gratitude. You know, that's my song.
Yeah, we're doing the Hero's Journey right now in church, 4-week series on Sundays, and I read from an old Irish legend about a man who goes to this mysterious room where the golden beds are turning endlessly around the room, and there's a queen sleeping on the bed, and anyway, there's also a flaming well where he takes the holy water from in 3 bottles that he takes with him back into the world. And it's similar to what you just said, you know, the combination of fire and ice, if you like, the water and fire together, the flaming well. And this is an image, isn't it, of the integration of apparent opposites within us, you know, our body and our spirit coming together as one, our finite nature and our infinite possibility nature dwelling as one within us. And I love that. I think this is part of the alchemical understanding, and it's part of these stages you're talking about of integration. And, you know, it's Mother Kali destroying everything and yet also giving birth to everything all at the same time. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the kinds of things that we've been talking about this morning are really extraordinarily rare, even for people to talk about them at this point in history. And I just feel so grateful that somehow, some way, this gift has come into my life, and that I feel this call to live by love, live as love in the world. And it's a whole different way. Whole different way.
Well, you know, I think if you're vibrating at a lower level and you know, listen to this stuff, you say, how silly, you know, it's all abstruse and it's not practical. It's, you know, we've got to deal with the real world here and all the stresses and strains and terrors of everyday reality or just my getting to work every day. But really, if you understand it at a little bit higher level, you'll understand that this stuff is eminently practical, isn't it? When we understand these nuances, these stages of unfoldment, we see that they have direct relevance to our everyday life, and in fact, they help us interpret the world in a much more expansive way. So they're not abstruse at all, really. They're extremely essential, I think, and practical for today's world. That's the way I approach it.
The person that I've been working with in developing the Love Stages Inventory is Terry O'Fallon, and I'd love for you to get acquainted with her because I think she's amazing. For the very first time, she has identified and described 12 stages no one else has done that before. And the research has been going on for almost 40 years. It started in the 1980s when, 30 years, I guess, when I was at UMass. It was just these stages of adult development were just beginning to be studied. And you know, Ken Wilber talks about how religion, which moves into spirituality, is a conveyor belt, and that everyone is in their right place, that it literally, that conveyor belt is bringing them along. And I remember when I was in school, I don't know if you ever did participated in this or not, but there was a group of us that sometimes, and often some people every week, but I would try to go a couple of times a month at least. There was a group of us that used to go to the Southern Baptist Church where Paul Smith was the minister.
Oh, yes,
And we'd go to an early service there, and then we'd hop over to Unity on the Plaza and go to the later 11 o'clock service. You know? And Paul Smith has now written a book about religion and integral as a spiritual path, and integral being a conveyor, religion being a conveyor belt. And he's very involved in integral. Now, that is such an amazing example of how religion really works in our lives. If we begin to cherish and love and appreciate all of it and understand. Don Beck told me once, he said, the greatest gift that you could give to people, because he knew I was very eclectic, as you're talking about, he said, the greatest gift you could give to people is to help point to the right church that they need to be going to. And it may not always be Unity of Tustin.
That's right. Yeah. We're all on different parts of the spiral, aren't we? Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a very advanced concept.
Excuse me.
Terry O'Fallon and I am now teaching that's called Awareness of Awareness. It's the entry into the causal stages and the beyond the subtle stages, and it's a capital A awareness of small A awareness. And, you know, there's ways now that, and I yearn for this. I yearn to have a clear awareness, you know, of all of the many selves within this being that in this physical body is called Marge. You know?
Yes, absolutely. My goodness. Well, we are certainly going to be thrilled about your book coming out, and I'd love for you to come back on the show and talk about it. And it's called Your Soul's Invisible Code, right?
Yeah. C-O-D-E-S.
Codes
and
with
it's,
an S.
It's,
all right.
Yeah, it's based on the 12 powers and the stages of creation that are the basic unity framework. So, you know, it's interesting because I have heard from many people that they're very, very excited about me writing a book. And what I also know is that at other points in my long history, almost three decades of being a Unity minister, I've heard comments were like, well, that's not Unity.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So that goes back to that 40-year dynamic that we were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that attracted me the most about Unity was it allowed me to be, you know, a Hindu and a mystic and interested in Buddhism, and at the same time embrace the perennial philosophy and the wonderful depth teachings of Jesus. And so, you know, to me, that's not a problem. I can integrate pretty much anything. But I think as long as the core is there, right, it's not about the structure itself is not so important as the living, breathing essence within it. And as long as we're in touch with that, I think then we're in unity. That's my thinking anyway.
Yeah. And what I see in you, Paul, is that you're very world-centric, and that's called in the frameworks that I teach and talk about. It's called transpersonal and global mind, and you know, it's violet in the spectrum of light,
right?
And how beautiful that is, and it's moving directly into the universal awareness. We've talked about some of that today, which is cosmic.
Absolutely.
And which, interestingly, in the research that I'm learning about, and I'm just learning because I don't know how to do all of this yet, but I'm so glad that I know it's there. A couple of the people that are very involved in it are people that are longtime students of Sri Aurobindo. And,
oh, yes.
What I know is that this universal cosmic realm, which is the leading edge of where I know I am, is what Sri Aurobindo called higher mind.
Yes.
And there's,
well, you know, folks, I got to cut you off, Marge, unfortunately, because I love shows where after an hour we're just getting started. But I also feel sad about it because I'd love to go on and on. We can't. We filled the hour already. It's like, oh dear. Well, but that's okay. We can have you back on again. I hope people have been inspired by some of the things we talked about, and also inspired by you and want to find out more about you and Called to Love Institute, Called by Love Institute. Folks, let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Marge. And next week, my wife Wendy actually is going to interview me about my spiritual journey, and that includes my journey to India back in my 20s and involvement with Buddhism and Hinduism, my current spiritual practice, and how it fits into unity. But I want to thank Marge. And is there a website particularly that you want to drive people to today, Marge?
CalledByLoveInstitute.com.
Simple as that. There we go. CalledByLoveInstitute.com. If you want to find out more about what she's doing, these wonderful stages, and look out for the book, Your Soul's Invisible Codes, coming out in the next few months, and that's going to be fascinating. But thank you so much for sharing so honestly and openly with me today.
Oh, and thank you for the invitation. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
And thanks for listening, folks, as always, to be part of this voice of an awakening world. We appreciate you, and tune in next week. All right, bye-bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
Are you ready for deeper spiritual breakthroughs? Have you wondered how to apply spiritual principles to your everyday life in practical ways? Do you feel your soul is calling you to deeper purposes? Join Reverend Galen McDowell live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central for Truth Transforms, a discussion on how God within you, as you, is the power to transform your life. If you really believe that consciousness determines your experiences and that you are an individualized expression of God, join us as we help awaken and transform the consciousness of humanity. We will discuss, through lecture, live interviews, and call-in questions, spiritual healing, prayer, prosperity, forgiveness, new thought views about eternal life, and much more. The world is waiting for your truth transformation, only on Unity Online Radio.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.